The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Friends, thank you so much for being with me yet once again. This is Mike Gilland along with someone that I've had on my show, but it's been a while, Dawn Sipley. Sipley the best. That's a great business name, Dawn. Welcome back to my program.
Thank you so much for having me back.
I tell you what, I looked at the calendar. I keep a detailed schedule of all my guests and when they were on and the week, even the day. And of course, all of our episodes on podcast are all numbered. And I remember something in particular with yours because we had just gone through what was Orange County's stay-at-home order in March, that last week of March. And even as I say that, I know a lot of our listeners are going to be going, oh yeah, I remember where I was. Where were you when the lights went out? That's kind of like what that's bringing up in my mind. But I remember, I have a nice home studio in our home. And fortunately, even in a radio station like this, I'm able to do most things remotely. So not only from the fact that we had a stay-at-home order, but also for the fact that our studios are situated in a big building with a lot of people. And for everyone's safety back then, as many as could go remote did. And that's what we did. And that's what I did. So your interview was one, if not the first, it was one of the first two that I did from my home studio. And we thought that was just going to be, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, we had no idea what we were in store for then.
We didn't. And that turned out to be almost 2 months for me.
Wow.
Doing my shows from my home.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And so it got to be very commonplace. And up until that time, I did very few phone interviews. And then all of them were phone interviews.
I think we all pivoted in that fashion some way or another. That's the 2020 word, is pivot.
That's it. We had to pivot. If you didn't pivot, you were in trouble. And as we know, sadly, there were a lot of businesses in serious trouble. Some did not make it. Some quickly closed their doors. Mm-hmm. Others straggled along and struggled along and ended up having to shutter maybe later on in the summer. But we are praying that 2021 will be a bit better year. Although I'm hearing reports and they're not comfortable, they're not helpful, not comforting for sure about where we are with this COVID thing again. And you as a business owner, now you've changed a lot in terms of your business since when you and I talked.
Yeah, I changed complete industries almost in companies.
Now, you were working for a company. You were vice president. Mm-hmm. I think you were part owner back then.
Yes, yep.
And it was predominantly a company that dealt with hiring.
Yep, we were a staffing company, and we were hiring all over Central Florida mm-hmm. during that time.
And you had been doing that for quite a while.
12 years, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so now, what? First of all, tell me, it seems that 2020 would have not been maybe what a lot of people's choices would be for a year to become a sole proprietor mm-hmm. and launch out in a brand new entrepreneurship effort is what you did. Mm-hmm. But that's exactly what you did.
It is. God's plans are always the best plans. In the beginning of 2020, I started in January with a 7-day water fast, and I had never done that before. And I really feel like it laid the foundation for me to go into 2020 with a new level of intimacy with Christ.
Mm-hmm. And that is, I'm thinking right now, here's the picture that's going on in my mind. I'm thinking of a business seminar, not attended by Christians that might hear that. And they would say, well, wait a minute, a water fast? Well, tell me what you meant by that. But we believers know that meant you just spent a week without food.
Without
only
any
drinking
food.
Water.
Yep.
And the desire, obviously, is to hear from the Lord.
Yes.
But in your case, and there's something wonderful about a need that will actually drive a person mm-hmm. to such extreme. But I mean, that's a commendable thing to go a week without eating. And I'm sure you did hear some things.
Absolutely. I mean, just nothing short of a miracle. Being a chub by nature and by name, I'm usually grumpy by lunchtime. So to go an entire week without any food, I did cheat a little bit and squeeze some lemon juice in my water and some essential mm-hmm. oils, but that was it. So little did I know what 2020 had in store for, you know, for me and for the nation and for the entire world, really. So,
yeah, it started off being a 2-week thing, as we mentioned mm-hmm. a little bit earlier. And, you know, the phrase back then for starting that off was that we're going to do this to flatten the curve. And that phrase, like many other things, I think it got flattened.
It makes me twitch a little bit just hearing that phrase.
Yes, because, you know, that was everybody's desire. And it was, we thought, well, we can buckle down and we can make this for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And back then, I loved the optimism that then President Trump had. And he was mm-hmm. saying by Easter, maybe we can be back to normal life. And he was derided on that. And, you know, later had to be real and say, well, we're not quite ready. And then summer happened and we thought things might get better. People were saying the heat will kill this thing. And the heat did not kill the thing. And then in the fall, actually, it gets worse than ever. And here we are now in 2021. And we're hoping with the vaccine that's out, maybe we'll see an end to all of this, but it has been quite a ride. And we're looking forward today to hearing a little bit more about all of these changes that came about as you sought and prayed and fasted. You know, I'm thinking about right now, Jesus said some things come about only by much prayer and fasting. Now, you know, that's not exactly a recipe that a lot of people love to think about, you know, to go without food. Mm-hmm. It messes one's mind up a little bit.
It certainly does.
The first couple of days, the first day for sure.
I think the first day and the third day were the hardest mm-hmm. days.
Yeah. After that, you kind of get into a little mm-hmm. bit of a focus and a mindset that I'm going to see this through.
I think your body starts to accept that you're no longer feeding it.
That's so true. And that is a long fast, but I'm glad it was productive for you. And again, I will hear more about what your new company and all the directions that the Lord gave you. But before that, you mentioned, you said we Chubbs, or however you expressed that, your name, Chubb, that would be your maiden, your maiden name.
Yeah.
And it is the family name of a person that I hold in my heart as one of the best things in 1985, when I moved to Orlando from Indiana. Cindy and I brought our then 2 kids up with us. And, I was part of a new church. I was there, though, with not as a pastor, not as an employee, and I was kind of looking for how I was going to make a living for my family, and I had met your Al Chubb, your grandfather, at a National Religious Broadcasters Convention a number of years earlier, and he had actually... we in our meeting, we hit it off. I mean, there we are in Washington, D.C. I had heard of WAJL and some of my visits to Orlando, but then I got to meet him, and he actually offered me a job back in like 1975, I think. And it was way back when. I may have those years. 70, yeah, that's pretty close to that. 77, maybe? 77, mm-hmm. Somewhere in there. And it just wasn't the right time. But now it's 1985, and we have made a move, again, with a vision and the heart to be part of this new community, this new church, but I was needing to make a living. And I called your grandfather up and said, you know, I said, I don't know if you remember me. Oh, yeah, I remember you. Sure. Yeah. And it was great. He goes, I said, can I borrow your production studio? Because I need to make some demo tapes. And he goes, well, sure. Come on over. And graciously let me come into that studio. And back in that day now, all announcers, all people in radio, you had to go to some place that had a studio. Not like today where, you know, pros. Yeah, well, we have our own studios in our homes. And if you go to Nashville, you'll find that most of the records in Nashville are, at least the early tracks, are done in home studios because gear has changed, technology has changed. But not that day. So I go in with this stack, Dawn. It was a stack. You should have seen me. I was carrying it. It was like about a foot and a half tall of tapes. Wow. That I'd taken in to copy on to, from my production session that day, what would be a demo reel for me to be able to do some vocal announcing, something I've done for years. And so he showed me around, and here are the machines, and you've got all your stuff. So go. And so I did it. Probably was in there for hour and a half, something like that. Got done. He poked his head in halfway through and he goes, before you leave, come and see me. So I thought, oh, I'd love to. So I walked into his office from the studio with my stack of a foot and a half tall reel-to-reel tapes, and he had me sit down, and before I left there, he had hired me as the morning guy on WAJL.
Well, there you go. The best interview is the one you don't know you're on.
I did not know. I had absolutely no idea.
Isn't it amazing how God just does those introductions in such timely, you know, manners and brings those resources together to make you show up that day, right?
Yeah, and you know, I don't think I ever needed a single one of those tapes that I brought in, and
well,
I worked
praise
that.
The Lord. That's funny.
From that point on, it was just the grace of God. The people there were so great. Mm-hmm. I got to work with the well-known Martha Tiller.
Yes, love Martha and her white dogs.
And her white dog Jamie, as I was the dog she had back then. And so many other people, like John Copeland, was a part back then, and Mike Campbell and other names from those years. And I tell you, God did that. He did that for me. And in so doing, opened up for this new guy into the area who just had moved in from Indiana. It opened a door for me to meet people, for me to become friends with people very quickly, because back then the Jesus festivals were still going on. And that I got there just in time to be part of the whole planning and ended up being an MC at some of those events. It was just crazy when I look back at the way your grandfather made an impact on our lives. In addition, one final thing about Al Chubb. Al became to my own two children back then, Grandpa Al.
Aww.
That's what he insisted that they call him. And he loved them. He just had that way, didn't he?
He certainly did. Have I ever told you what I called him?
No, I don't think so.
So I was the first grandchild, and I was actually born with a speech impediment that prevented me to say certain things. And he wanted to be called Granddaddy. And then Elaine wanted to be called Grandmommy. But I could not say it. And so it came out Mama Me and Daddy with my stutter. And I was the first grandchild. And to this day, Elaine, who's still alive, is known as Mama Me in the family.
Well, I would never have picked that up from you.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, that's amazing. Daddy, is that what it
was?
Daddy and Mama Me. Yeah. There you go. That's awesome.
I've never met another one. I've met lots of Meemaws and Pawpaws, but never
another
one.
No, I've never met
a
Daddy before, so that is a new one. And folks, you heard it here first from Sipley the Best, my guest today, Dawn Sipley. That's just great. When we come back, we're going to take a quick break here. But when we do come back, we're going to be talking with Dawn about her new business. And that is the name, by the way, Sipley the Best. And learn about what she does. was that might be a bit different from the staffing and hiring help that she gave businesses back in March when we had her on before. You're in tune to Afternoons with Mike in our brand new time here at 3:05 in the afternoons, and again replayed in the evenings at 9:05 on the Shepherd Radio Network. I'll be right back. Back again here in Afternoons with Mike in the studio. I have a guest today, Dawn Sipley. Dawn has been on my program again in the past. She was with us way back in March of 2020. And you know, Dawn, when we think about how long ago March 26th was, it feels like 5 years ago.
It certainly does.
2020 was a very long year. Mm-hmm. In many ways, but it does seem like a lot longer than just, 9 months ago or something like that. But we're glad to have you back. And as we mentioned in the last segment, since you were with us the last time, some changes. So tell us about a little bit about the story. You mentioned you began the whole process by seeking the Lord, which I think is so commendable, and praying and fasting, setting a week aside where you did nothing but pray and fast, drinking only water with a little bit of squeezed lemon juice one time. That's still good.
Okay.
That not counted as food there.
Right.
But out of that comes faith in what would be one of the most difficult years in my mind. To navigate a brand new business, but that's what you did.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about that.
So the word that I really came out of that fast with was boldness. And I had no idea what that meant. Just boldness in just resting in him. And so I started to act accordingly and really follow his word and in business and in a personal life and all of that. So that really led to some big changes in my life that I never would have imagined. I had the assumption that I was going to be probably retiring with my previous company. And after 12 years, that ended up ending. The birth of Sipley the Best kind of came along out of all that, which had been a vision that I had had, but one for maybe many moons down the road or maybe something adjacent to my previous situation.
Now, when you get the word in your mind and God's his direction is actually now clear before you, and you've just heard this word, as you mentioned, that this is going to be 2020, the year of boldness. Mm-hmm. I thought 2020 for me was going to be the year of vision. It turned out to be the year of surprise, but that's okay. That's a different story. Boldness was your word. Mm-hmm. What were the first bold steps that you had to take?
Just really walking in authenticity with Christ and not taking a blind eye to certain things that were around me. Mm-hmm. So just led to some challenging conversations and some interesting opportunities. And I did all of that. I remember saying, Lord, I just want to pray for peace over this. And the word that peace surpasses all understanding, because I was confounded on what was going on around me.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the path that I was walking down, but just the comfort that I felt around it was remarkable, because I am very much a planner and an implementer, and I will push a wet noodle up a hill if I declare that that noodle should be at the top of that hill. Mm-hmm. So just really releasing all of that and just being bold in my faith and stepping out in that manner was just truly the most intimate season of my life with Christ, just not to worry and not to despair. And I mean, 2020 was hard on a lot of folks, but for me, it certainly came with challenges, but it also came with enormous blessings.
Mm. That's a great way to say it. It's a great way to surmise the year, mm-hmm. and get on this side of it and realize, because I have heard that from many people.
Yeah.
While there were challenges, you know, I think that ability to look at the past, even the recent past, and be able, when there is a half glass, either full or empty, and choose to look at it in the positive, saying it's half full, mm-hmm. that is a gift from God.
Absolutely.
And I really believe that A lot of people in this world today have not yet caught on to the truth of that, because it seems easier at times to commiserate or, you know, my dad would call it belly aching.
Yes, yes.
You know, just complain and really gripe about how bad things are, but that helps no one do anything. Mm-mm. But here you start this new business in the midst of it. Now, how did you come up with the name?
Well, actually, it was given to me by a friend. I had posted out on social media, hey, I've got I'm wanting to start this company, this, that, and the other. And I thought it was going to be a playoff of Chubb, you know, and because you can go in so many different directions with that. And then someone put in the comments, simply the best. And I was like, that's it. That's it. I absolutely love it because it can have so many different directions as far as your marketing ability goes, and it wouldn't pigeonhole me into one thing.
Well, you know, a lot of people do employ their own names in their company, and that is a very clever way of doing it. The little double entendre of simply, just lost the M, and there you go.
Yeah, I get a lot of Tina Turner references now from her song back in the 80s.
Oh, well, that's great. Well, I am so thankful that you are here. I enjoy getting to talk to local business owners. Our show, you've listened and you know, we get to talk to a wide range of people, from national leaders to pastors to business people like yourself and other newsmakers and those that are on the front lines. But I tell you what I've heard from you already today is so encouraging. And I think one of the things, just to point out right now, before we hear even some of the new things that you're doing in your business now that you did not do the last time you were with us, that important step of not only praying, but again, taking the whole thing very seriously before you make a decision to spend the time with the Lord. I think that's something that we've heard from Dawn, that if maybe this is going to be what some people walk away from this interview with, is that encouragement that I need to seek God. And, you know, in the Old Testament, we read over and over about times where Israel did inquire of the Lord prior to a move.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful when they did that. And then we see the times when they did not inquire from the Lord and they presumptively marched on out and did what they thought they were going to do, and they didn't do what they thought they were going to do because God just was against them. And so, or he held back. I mean, maybe that's a better way of saying it. He just held back his hand of blessing because they weren't going there representing what the Lord wanted to do. So anytime you make a decision, we can take this encouragement today, set aside time, pray, consider doing what Dawn did, and that is fast. Now, again, your new company has a lot of new directions, new offerings. So tell us about some of those.
So I'm able to serve both businesses and individuals, right? Because at the end of the day, we don't have an employment situation without two healthy sides. So I'm able to help business owners, typically smaller businesses, 15 to 40 employees. They have enough people that they have problems, but they don't have enough money to where they could afford like a full-time HR person. So I'm able to step in and be really that executive level peer that they can be transparent with when it comes to their human capital needs. So I can walk in a path with them of hiring, layoffs, changes in the season, cultural issues that need to be dealt with, and really do so, again, in a bold fashion. If you're putting Christ first in your business, I really believe that he will bless those things.
A lot of people do not understand the role of HR, human resources, as you just said. For those that may not be as familiar with that, or maybe they know they have a department like that at where they work, but it has not yet really, apart from maybe the once a year signing of insurance forms or when you hire in, you fill out some forms. Tell a little bit about the philosophy about why a good HR component is critical.
Man, we could just take up the whole rest of the time on that, but ultimately, it's going to be boiled down to satisfaction and productivity on the employee side, that your leadership is giving the message that needs to be sent all the way down the ladder, and then the folks at the bottom of the ladder really know what that ladder looks like, how to climb it, who to go to, mm-hmm. to ask for help and things along the way. So turnover is extremely expensive. It's detrimental to an organization. It can be very toxic. But when you have people who've been working together long term with long tenure, that level of trust and rapport creates productivity, creates an economy in which you can just really thrive.
Mm-hmm. And that is something that happens when you do have a company that's firing on all cylinders.
Correct.
You can tell when a company has this, you mentioned the word toxic, and that is a really big word in our culture, in our world today, because of the fact that that word emits this picture. It just kind of connotes something that is bitter, something that is dangerous, something that is perhaps even deadly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not far from the truth, because there are situations where you have businesses that have an atmosphere among their employees, or maybe a morale or lack thereof, that is actually toxic.
Yeah, it can kill your career very quickly if you depart in a bad fashion from an employer. And for businesses, they forget that those people are also in the market. And if they are unpleased, you think a customer will tell a lot of people about a bad experience. An employee will tell 10 times the amount of people about a bad experience. And it really affects your sales at the end of the day if you're known as a poor employer.
So go through the list real quick about what you do, not only in HR, but your company, Simply the Best. Mm-hmm. What do you do to help small businesses?
So we are able to help them create a culture that is healthy and positive so they can bring out the best in individuals, realign talent, because I'm a big believer in not forcing people to do things that they're not naturally talented at. Find what their sweet spot is, put them in that role, and then hire the yin to their yang. Don't try to force them. You'll never make me an accountant. I'll never be good with numbers. I'll never have a high attention to detail when it comes to meticulous things like that. So,
do you find that most people know what they're good at?
No, and that's part of the problem.
I think so too.
Giving
yeah.
the individuals the emotional intelligence and the authority to speak on their behalf on what they're comfortable with. There seems to be a distrust between the employer and the employee at times that if an employee is vulnerable in states that they might not be good at something or it doesn't come naturally, that somehow their job is compromised.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have an amazing leadership where those things can be discussed openly without a threat of demotion or termination, then really you create an environment of creativity and trust and employees that will go above and beyond for you because you can never pull out of someone what they're not willing to give.
How do you go about, let's say, having that first conversation with an employee? What advice do you give a business owner? If they're listening right now and the business owner is saying something to himself like this, holy cow, they are reading my mail. I'm dealing today with an employee that I just can't seem to motivate, or I can't seem to connect with them and to help them to see what is actually being asked of them. What's your advice?
Don't talk business and just ask them questions about who they are and how they are. Because once they feel valued, they'll be able to discuss other things with them. Just saying hello in the morning, knowing who their spouses are, knowing what kind of pets they have. Really, when you get to know people on that level, the work stuff is easy to talk about. Those uncomfortable conversations after you have earned the right to have those conversations are much simpler. So maybe take them out to eat, sit down with them, just get to know them. And then you'll see a change not only in your heart and the way that you view them. It'll take that coarseness off of your heart and maybe some of that criticism that you have. And for them, it'll show you in a different light that you actually care about them beyond what kind of money they can make you.
You know, that is such great advice right there. And I think that is a general axiom that people forget about at times is that relationships
yes.
and being relationally connected is much better than this hireling concept
yes.
or an atmosphere where someone feels, you know, I'm basically a slave for my company right now. They're the master. I'm the slave. I just go to work and I do my, you know,
dealings.
My due diligence for the day. And then I go home and I hate my life. That sadly is a lot of people's mindset.
It is.
And yet that can be so easily adjusted with just some of the things that you're talking about. So talent, do you go in, do you, when you're working with a company, do you actually take the time to go through and maybe talk to some of the employees at that company?
Oh, I require access, one-on-one access, because what they say in front of others is not what they'll say in privacy. And they need to know that they can be transparent with the HR department without word getting back in detail to leadership. So really, it's the HR department's duty and responsibility to take in all that information, filter it, and then deliver it to leadership in a way that is able to create change on behalf of the workforce to make the workforce a better workforce, which in the end, right, the stakeholders want to optimize their workforce.
They do. And it's for their good.
It
and
is.
It's for the good of the employees, too.
Absolutely.
So let's take a moment on this concept now. Let's swing it the other direction where you walk into a place and now you can realize this place is managed very well. There is not a visible or a felt toxicity in the place. Then what kind of an atmosphere do you find when you walk into that?
There's just a general sense of ease. I typically request a tour with one of the leaders of the organization. And what I'm typically looking for is people's response to when the boss walks in the room. Is there a straightening of the backs and a putting down of the heads? Or is it a, hey, Frank, good to see you. How are you doing? So when it's positive, you know, you can just kind of come from a place of more transparency, and authenticity. And when pointing out areas of improvement, because we all have areas of improvement.
Let's talk about that for just one moment here.
Okay.
We're going to have to take a break coming up soon, but you've said something that really intrigued me. You're saying, and I believe this with all my heart, but you're saying that you can be there and see a visible reaction on the face of an employee when the boss comes into the room.
Oh, it's like just painted on the wall like a mural, honestly. I have studied something called neuro-linguistic programming. It's called NLP for short, and it's the biological way that the body reacts when it tells a lie or it tells the truth. So that's, as a recruiter, that was really something that I studied to set myself apart. Because people are, of course, their best during an interview. And so expect some exaggeration, but it's the key points that you want to make sure that people are being honest and authentic about. But yeah, when it's unexpected and it's just a rounding of the corner, it's almost comical. And I've taken people on tours and given them that piece of advice as we're touring. Look at this and that, you know, are the cubicles decorated with pictures of the kids, of, you know, drawings of their pets, of their hobbies, or is it a sterile work environment? Is there music playing overhead, or is there silence and only keyboard sounding? Is the break room a place you want to be, or a place where you walk in, you nuke up your food and you get out? You know,
quick,
so all that
out.
all that culture really lends itself. So you're really looking at many different things, not just like OSHA safety requirements.
This picture, this concept that we're talking about, I go to both sides. I go to the boss that you're walking with, and I'm just wondering, what is he even aware of his physical reaction? Is the employee aware of how they change or how they perk up or how they shrink back or whatever? Do either of them usually realize what they're doing?
I don't think in the moment that they realize what they're doing, but what I've found is the employers that are that dictator, right, where people straighten up, they like that reaction. There's a sense of control that feeds into their ego. So you better put your head down when I walk in the room.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. It's desired by them.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And that's not a good thing either.
No. And that's it. So it's HR's duty to show them how that kind of leadership style actually cripples them and doesn't really allow for engagement in the workplace.
And all that really goes into that word toxic. It just builds that atmosphere that's not healthy, not productive. And at the end of the day, very, very costly.
Yes.
Not only to the company from the standpoint of maybe lost time. And like you said, when a transition happens, you have a valued person that quits and leaves. That's a big setback in so many different ways for a company. But then when you just reverse that and you've got somebody that's happy, they are grateful, they're cheerful, and they love what they do, they become not only a good worker, but they become one of your best marketers. Yeah. To other people.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's wonderful. Dawn Sipley, a very wise lady, as you can tell. Sipley the Best is her company. And we'll hear more from Dawn in our remaining time coming up in just a moment. Something especially interesting to me is her help to people in getting a job. That all-important resume, that's what we're going to talk about in a moment. So if you know somebody right now that's looking for a job, call them up, tune in, find out what can help them get the job of their dreams as we talk to Dawn Sipley right here on Afternoons with Mike. What fun it is to have Dawn Sipley back in the studio today. Actually, I shouldn't say that because the first time she was on the show, she wasn't in the studio. She was actually on the phone, and that was happening during the initial COVID lockdown in Central Florida the last week of March, when the Orange County government established and gave us the edict for a stay-at-home order. Wow, that seems like years ago now. But many parts of our country, sadly, are under such orders even to this day. And we continue to pray for them and our country. We've been praying for our country for days now, but here we are on the day after the big inauguration. Businesses are still going forward in Gainesville, Ocala, and in Orlando, where all of our Shepherd Radio Network stations are located. And thankfully, they are growing stronger. Many of them have really done well, even in 2020. Others we know have struggled. Sadly, some, as we mentioned earlier, shuttered during the past year. We're praying for all of that. And one of the reasons why I love having Dawn in is that she really is a person who is able to speak into ways that business owners can hear and grow and maybe make changes in some of the both atmospheric aspects of their job, as well as perhaps in the direct hiring aspects of their job and everything in between. Now, one of the things that you specialize in, I mentioned this, a resume. You know, I'm an old school guy. I go back to when my first resume was done on a manual typewriter.
Wow.
You know, and it's one you see, I think of the movie and then you get you later on, you get into the what were those things called? The Selectrix, I think was the name of the IBM electric typewriter. Mm-hmm. And it had that little hum that was so comforting. And you could just,
press the key so hard.
Oh my goodness. The first time I typed on one of those things, I jumped up over 10 words, a minute just because of an electric machine.
Wow.
But that's what it was typed on. And, you know, in those early days, we did not even have the word processing capabilities of starting over. So you had to have that resume typed perfectly. Every single character hit the first time because a mistake looked terrible on a resume. So in this day and age, when it's so easy to get things typed up cleanly, what are the big mistakes that you see on resumes?
I feel that a lot of folks think that a resume is just a regurgitation of their employment history, when really you need to have the future in mind when you're writing a resume. So of course you want to tip your hat to the past, but you really want to bow to the future on where you are taking your career, what direction that you're headed, especially if you're making a huge shift. I have recently written countless resumes for Disney people, right?
Oh,
they
my
have
goodness,
been theme
yes.
park workers. They have been characters. Well, you know, Ariel isn't exactly a marketable thing out in the open market. So those folks have to rebrand themselves. That can be a challenge if you really don't know what you're doing when you're rewriting a resume.
As a side note, mm-hmm. that's such an interesting and so sad because our theme park area yes. has been decimated by the pandemic mm-hmm. and questions are out there. To what degree will this ever get back? And I know a lot of people initially were wondering, could those people be rehired?
Right.
A lot of them obviously are not even going to be in this area if things get better mm-hmm. and they're gone because mm-hmm. they've moved to other parts of the country to get a job because they have to work.
Yeah.
So what do you see as being the thing in a resume that people almost always put in there that really shouldn't be in there?
The objective. I already know the objective of a resume. Please don't tell me. It's a hiring manager. So at the top, your header should be more profile or summary.
So don't put an objective.
Yeah, my objective is to land a secure job with a great company where I can utilize my skills and abilities to the best.
Now, like, that's one of the things that when I was in school that we were told to put on there.
Serenity now. No, please don't.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So that's one big thing that I see. And I think the other one is just really not quantifying your resume. So if you're a receptionist, how many incoming phone calls do you take? Is it 20 or is it 120? That's a huge skill gap difference. There's some folks who would lose their mind if their phone rang 120 times in an 8-hour period, mm-hmm. where there's others who can naturally pick it up, take it, transfer it next, and it's almost second nature. So quantifying things, I think, is often overlooked.
Okay. Now, what is the deficient thing that should be there and very few people naturally put it there? What comes to your mind?
Their LinkedIn link to where it's clickable. Your phone, many headhunters and recruiters and hiring managers are working off mobile devices, especially now. So we want to be able to touch your telephone number and it just dial you right up. If you don't have the right format, then I have to memorize your phone number if I'm on my phone and then dial it in, things like that.
Now, the technical word for that would be a resume that is dynamic.
Okay.
So if it's dynamic, that means that it's deeper than just visual. Mm-hmm. It's not just a a 2D plan here. It's mm-hmm. it's got actually some depth to it. Mm-hmm. And so like you said, you've got an active link that is dynamic. When you touch mm-hmm. it, something happens.
Yes.
Boom, the phone is ringing. And within just a couple of seconds, that is the kind of world that everyone wants to live in, mm-hmm. where you can reach the person you're wanting to reach in like -5 seconds, right?
Amen.
That is so true. Wow. And here's one final question about a resume.
Uh-huh.
In this culture, in this day, in our society, how long should it be?
No more than 2 pages if you have less than 10 to 15 years experience or if it's non-technical. If you're an engineer, you can kind of spill into a third page. The one page thing, I think, is dead. Certainly, if you only have a few years of experience, there's no reason to ramble on and try to fill white space. But 1 to 2 pages is your 95% norm.
Here's another question that comes to mind. How important do you see it in this day and age to have a college education?
Mm-hmm. I don't see it as important at all. UCF is cranking out degrees like water. And I don't need any business degreed people with no experience. I need plumbers and electricians and carpenters that know a trade. Those folks, they get out of high school, do an apprenticeship program, and they're making $30 an hour and have zero debt. I need people who can do a job, not people who are educated.
Mm. Now, that's going to fly in the face to a lot of people right
it
now.
Will.
And there's going to be
it
a lot will. Of dads who go like, holy cow, I've spent the last 18 years of my life pushing my son to go to college. And
and
now you're saying it's not that important. Oh, my goodness.
I know.
So experience, the role mm-hmm. of experience mm-hmm. really trumps the day, doesn't it?
Yeah. All I need from a candidate is the ability to learn. So if they, and that's what a college education kind of proves to me, if anything, mm-hmm. is they have an ability to learn new concepts and theories and philosophies and softwares. And you have that and you have a good heart, those soft skill sets that are unteachable, right? I can't teach you work ethic. I can't teach you striving for excellence. But I can teach you how to do certain processes and procedures.
Mm. I love having Dawn Sipley on my program for these very reasons, because this is just down to earth, very helpful, practical information that you just, you can't find this anyplace. I mean, it's great. So a 2-page resume mm-hmm. that does not have an objective, that is high on their experience, and that is not overly wordy or kind of sloppy. And mm-hmm. thank goodness it can be clean without white out all over it.
Amen.
What a day in which we live. It's got to be dynamic, folks. You've got to be able to have your phone numbers where when you touch them and you're reading them on a mobile phone, they instantly link up. Dawn Sipley, we got to have you back up on the show sometime and further update us on how things are going. So Dawn, give us how people can contact you on social media.
I really love interacting with my folks on Facebook. So you can find us at facebook.com/SipleyTheBest.
Sipley the Best. That's SIPLEY the Best. That's it. Dawn Sipley, I love it. Thank you for being with us here today. This is Afternoons with Mike.